I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show lined up for you this evening, jam-filled with information as usual. Tonight we'll be talking about false beliefs. And sometime later in the program, one of the channelings from Sal Rochelle, from Leah, the Arcturians, on the subtleties of judgment. I'd like to remind everybody in the USA and Canada that if they'd like to call in and ask questions, they can call in at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. Probably the number one false belief that many people seem to take to heart is that money equals happiness. Seems kind of strange to me at 2008 that so many people act as if this is in fact true. Most people are caught up in the belief that if they won the lottery, they would be happy. According to a new study by Professor Dan Gilbert and author of the bestseller, Stumbling on Happiness, studies show that after a few years of getting used to their new situation, lottery winners and paraplegics are surprisingly close to being equally happy. And I quote, "Sure, when winning the lottery, you're ecstatic at first, but it tends to have a terrible effect on social relationships. People almost always get jealous, and people lose their friends and their family members. Much recent data show that people fare reasonably well in a variety of tragic and traumatic circumstances. Paraplegics are generally quite happy people, and blind people often say the worst problem they have is that everyone assumes they are sad. People do feel devastated if they go blind, but it does not last. The human mind is constituted to make the best of situations in which it finds itself. But most people don't know they have this ability. While the secret of happiness is perhaps elusive, the secret to unhappiness is a little more obvious. It's a delaying happiness to some moment in the future. It's hating where you are now. It's hating the people you're with. It's a failing to see all that you have. One thing is for sure, unhappiness is thinking you need to win millions of dollars before you can jump for joy." End quote. Now, to put a spiritual spin on this, the best book I can recommend is The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. Clearly, happiness is not a product of money. This is not to diminish the importance of money in today's world. However, learning to accept and be grateful for your current situation is clearly of primary importance, and your relationships with friends and family are huge factors when considering overall happiness, and also a satisfying job where you feel you make a difference. Clearly, studies show that the majority of people work at jobs they dislike just for the paycheck. For many, a never-ending cycle of a job to make ends meet gets in the way of lifelong desires and unfulfilled dreams. According to Bashar Esasani, one of the keys to happiness is following your excitement or your joy or your passion. Even if you can't immediately do your passion for a living, you need to start in some small way. Then every day, do something, no matter how small, in this direction, and build the momentum. Eventually, you will be compensated for doing this, as it is in alignment with your higher self. When you are doing this activity, time flies. And in my opinion, each of us has a gift to offer to humanity, and it is in this area that your gift resides. If you never get to do it, everyone loses. Further, Bashar says that you can choose to be happy just for no other reason. You can choose your state of being and then experience your outer circumstances from this point of view. In truth, outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning, so if you choose to experience a certain circumstance from the perspective of joy, then you will in time get a joyous experience. Positive emotion in and positive experience out is the formula. If you really know that your inner beliefs and emotions are expressed in the outer world as a mirror reflection, then you start to understand that you have to be it to see it, and believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. Like when you look in a mirror and frown, you can't make the mirror reflect a smile by wishing it or rubbing it. You have to smile first, then the mirror has no choice but to reflect this smile. Even scientifically, it has been proven that emotions send out a vibration 5,000 times stronger than the brain to our immediate surroundings. It is how we really feel emotionally that is reflective in our outer lives. Thought or belief with emotion manifests as our outer reality. Situations do not happen in your lives to show you that you are stuck in them. Situations do not happen in your lives to show you that you have failed at creating better ones. Situations come into your lives to show you what beliefs you have been taught, what beliefs you have bought into, and if you don't prefer them, to change them. You always have a self-regulating mechanism to allow you to know what beliefs may be buried in your unconscious minds. The self-regulating mechanism that allows you to know precisely how to bring those beliefs to the surface of your conscious minds so you can change them if you don't like them and reinforce them if you do, is the experience of physical reality. Don't think that just because your bank account is less than another that you are not abundant. According to the Pleiadians, and I quote, "In truth, most will find that abundance is measured by the inner feelings of self-approval and confidence that precludes the necessity of impressive material demonstrations for ego aggrandizement. What you do with regard to self and others is more important than what you have. When this is accomplished, all that is necessary is attracted without effort, for each is then encompassed within the expansive flow of creation." End quote. And for comments by Bashar on the subject of abundance, and I'll quote from him, "So, one, excitement tells you it is you. Two, it tells you that because it is you, it will be an effortless creation. Three, it tells you that because it is you and will be an effortless creation, you will be able to attract the abundance you need in whatever form you need it. And understand that abundance is more than just money. Money on your planet is one of the valid ways to respect abundance, but it is not the only tool, and it is not always the shortest and quickest route. Abundance will always express itself along the path of least resistance, just like electricity. When you broaden your definition of what you think abundance is, then you will allow all the different ways it could come to you to come to you. And now let us add one more definition. Abundance is the ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it. Examine your beliefs about money. Change any negative belief to, I do desire to create a reality of effortlessness and ease, and I will be supported. then that's the reality you will get. The universe will support your 100% effort in that direction. It will say, if that's what you want, here it is, because now that's what you believe. And as you believe, that's what you experience in physical reality. You are always 100% supported in what you believe. If you choose to go from doing what you like doing to what you love, the universe will support you 100% by attracting into your life all the circumstances that will support you in doing what you love, just as strongly as it attracted into your life all the things that supported you in doing what you only liked when you were doing that. When you know there is no reason to distinguish between the two, you will allow yourself to let it be all right to do what you love to do, and the universe will say, if that's what you want, here it is. That's the way the universe works. So if things in your life are mediocre, it is supporting your belief in mediocrity. That is all there is to it. Believe in ecstasy. It will support you with no more effort than it supports you now. You are unconditionally loved and supported by the Creator. It is, in a way, another paradoxical mechanism. As soon as you allow where you are to be all right, you will be able to get where you want to be much faster. If you let wherever you are be where you want to be, you will live in the moment, and then everything will be able to find you. This leads right into our next false belief, which is that the rational mind is responsible for figuring out how things happen. Sometimes we get totally overburdened with trying to figure things out. This creates a lot of excess baggage to carry around. According to Bashar, and this may seem way out there, the rational mind is not capable of having even one creative thought. I'm going to repeat that because I know the first time I heard it, it really caused me to think. According to Bashar, and this may seem way out there, the rational mind is not capable of having even one creative thought. The way things really work is that we are one complete persona comprised of our higher self as the conceiver of ideas. The brain, which is the receiver of ideas, and the rational mind, which is the perceiver of ideas. In other words, the rational mind only sees how things happened, past tense. The rational mind deludes itself into thinking it can reproduce the effects of how things happened, but this is an illusion. All those flashes of genius come from the higher self. Aren't you glad that you can quit thinking now? The job of the rational mind is to enjoy the experience. Your job in life is to put a positive spin on everything. That and follow your joy or excitement to the best of your ability. Of the possible choices available, just do the thing that is most exciting with integrity and enjoy the ride. Figuring out the how of life is not your job. It is the job of the higher self. You can even relate this to manifesting your desires by remembering that when you visualize effectively, you do not visualize the details of the how, just the what. You see the what clearly and feel the emotion, and then be that in order to manifest. The rational mind is not capable of seeing the how. When the ego or rational mind tries to do too much, it gets overwhelmed, and this leads in time to a breakdown and dis-ease. This is connected to the energy of frustration. This energy comes into being from the original separation of the awareness of our divine nature from the rational mind. There is a disconnection which leads to doubt and eventually the creation of fear. When we are in communion with our higher selves, fear does not exist. It is an illusion based on false definitions or beliefs and fueled by the energy of frustration. In reality, there are only two objective facts. One, that we have individual awareness, and second, that we are all created with unconditional love. This fall from grace, so to speak, involves the separation of the awareness of our divine nature. This in turn leads to judgment. and judgment is the root cause of all suffering and disease. When you start to observe your core beliefs, what you will find is that your personality is like an artificial construct that is composed of your beliefs. Many of these were downloaded from your parents during the first few years of your life. You will no doubt need to find these or conclude what they are from your outer experience in life. For example, you can say to yourself, what would I have to believe in order to experience this outer circumstance? This will be shown to you in your outer reflection. Then you can change or reprogram those that no longer serve you. If you take a remote viewing course, you will learn to go deep theta and do the reprogramming from that level. I also suggest getting the CD called Manifesting Your Dreams in the 21st Century, and that can be obtained from www.bashar.org or on your internet. Another excellent source in reprogramming beliefs can be found under the College of Christ Consciousness. And a process is there also for reprogramming old beliefs, somewhat similar to Bashar's techniques. Some of your beliefs were developed on your own and not downloaded from your parents. Once you start to see how your beliefs manifest in your outer reality, you will get excited about discovering core beliefs. Bashar has two workshops devoted to this process, and one is called Transforming Core Beliefs, and the other is Core Beliefs. There are some very powerful techniques given in these workshops. Apparently, Bashar needed some special permission to make these tools available to mankind at this time. One of his mantras is, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer, like joy? Then see the circumstance from this perspective and act on it. He says that this mantra is a communication from your higher self in terms that the rational mind can understand. Much of the communication from the higher self is intuitive urges. Bashar also recommends writing down your dreams and looking for messages. David Wilcock also recommends asking yourself to remember that you are dreaming while you are dreaming. This is called lucid dreaming. This also relates to remote viewing, as when you are aware in deep theta, about 4.5 cycles per second, you are at a state more subtle than the basic filtering process that the brain does when receiving information from the higher self. By the way, sleep is the process of reconnecting with your higher self. When you use all of your brain, you will not need to sleep. The beauty of this process is that you learn to take responsibility for your outer experience. This is the next false belief I'm going to deal with. The belief that circumstances just happen out of the blue at random, or that somebody else is at fault or to blame. There are no accidents in life. You are responsible for your outer experience. Because you are responsible, it means you have the ability to respond, or the power to change anything that is not to your preference. When you blame, criticize, or justify things that happen to you, in effect you create yourself as a victim and powerless. This is the next false belief, that we are powerless. We are incredibly powerful beings. And the more we experience limitation, it is like pulling a rubber band back and creating tension. But when we release the tension, we note that the farther back we pull the rubber band, the farther it flies forward. So don't despair at the amount of limitation in your life, because it's all for a reason. Apparently, we humans are a source of some cosmic jokes about how we allow ourselves to experience the feeling of powerlessness. One of the keys here is to note that when or if you are in fear, when you feel fear, it is because you are running energy through beliefs that are not in alignment with your higher self. When you run energy through beliefs that are in alignment with your higher self, you will feel joy, excitement, love, compassion, or gratitude. Fear can be your friend, though, because it reminds you of things you need to learn or to refine and makes you aware of that you have to work on. Like tuning a sour note on a piano. You can even learn to say to yourself, oh joy, a new fear. You can learn to do this process with excitement, because when you understand fear totally, it turns to joy. It's the same energy with a different perspective. The next false belief is that outer events have built-in meaning. No, they do not. Outer events are analogous to the props in a play. In each play, they can mean different things. We place judgment on outer events and then experience the result of that judgment. If you think about it, some of the so-called negative experiences in our lives turn out to be the ones we learn the most from. The same event can have totally opposite judgment from two different people. We assume that generally everyone agrees as to the meaning of events, but this is also a false belief. Your beliefs and judgments create your universe. You are the authority in your universe. Your beliefs may be limited in scope, but real for you. For example, you may believe the world is flat, so for you it is. Someone else may believe it is round. This belief will give a wider experience of all that is, but both beliefs are equally valid. There is no point in forcing your beliefs on someone else. You can express your beliefs, but don't get attached to having them accepted, or this will create tension. When you're not interested in another's opinion and only interested in forcing your belief on others, this is a kind of abuse. In fact, many institutions and organizations first use fear to make you think you need them, and then force their perspective on you. Beliefs are very powerful because they get reflected in the world you experience. The false loop is that a belief is structured so that it appears it is the only viable choice. You think that a certain situation is true because of the outer experience, but what we fail to see is that we created it in the first place, and the experience is attracted to us. If we have a false belief, it is reinforced by the outer experience, which in turn reinforces the false belief. In a sense, the world is meaningless, in that we place or give meaning to it. If we don't give meaning to life, we won't be here to experience it for long. The next false belief is that the past controls the future, and the present is the result of the past. According to Bashar, and I quote, "Your present is not the result of your past." Say this two more times. My present is not the result of my past. My present is not the result of my past. Recognize that once you allow the explosion of understanding to truly, emotionally, experientially understand that your present is not the result of your past, you will once and for all break the connection to third density. It is always now. You create the past from the present and not the other way around. The present is the only experiential time in which you ever exist. Any time you look at yourself, it is always now, and it always will be now. Therefore, you are creating from now any idea of the so-called past. You are creating from the now any idea of the so-called future. When you live in the moment, you don't create as much time. Only the waiting for something else creates the time that happens in between. Does that give you any idea about aging? And here is something else to ponder. Your consciousness does not exist in the body. The body exists within your consciousness. The next false assumption, that hate is the opposite of love. Again, a quote from Bashar, "Hate may be the diametric dynamic polarity expression of love, but guilt is the true mechanical opposite. For love is complete and utter self-worthiness and creativity, while guilt is the belief in lack of self-worth. It stifles creativity." Hate involves the concept that you deserve something, whereas guilt is completely devoid of the sense of deservability. In fact, guilt is the denial of your very existence. Therefore, the belief in your lack of self-deservability allows you to be able to create a scenario in which you actually keep at bay all of the things in life that are yours by birthright, such as happiness, ecstasy, and creativity. Guilt is the bitter pill that was injected into your society by your society to keep you in the status quo of lack of self-empowerment. Because when you truly believe you are not connected to all that is, or God, the infinite creation, when you truly believe you must control by force in order to get anything at all in life, then do you further the continuation of limitation and further the continuation of guilt. The next false belief is that violence is the way to resolve differences. Tell me, what war ended all wars? War only perpetuates more wars. Look around society and see all the anti-programs. Has any one of them ever succeeded? I think not. When you go against something, you are trying to invalidate it. The energy that you use to invalidate it or suppress it only assists in perpetuating its existence. The proper focus is to create a new positive situation. I like the quote from Mother Teresa when asked if she would attend an anti-war rally, and she said, "No, but I would attend a peace rally." Here is another related false belief that humans are more different than they are similar. The fact is, there's only one race on this planet, the human race. We are all brothers and sisters, and there are no undesirable races, countries, colors, or ethnic groups. And now, for the coup de grace of false beliefs. And by this I mean, by definition, a blow by which a person condemned or mortally hurt is put out of his or her misery, a decisive finishing stroke. The finishing stroke is the belief that modern medicine has all the answers. The best response to this comes from Pleiadian teachings. All of your beliefs have a powerful impact on your health, because how you feel about yourself and the world at large directly affects the functions and operating systems of your physical form. Remember, your feelings are always connected to your beliefs. How you feel is a result of what you believe. No matter what you believe, your body will essentially follow your innermost commands. Whether you send thought patterns of doom and despair or those that embrace vibrant health, you are in charge of your physical form, and the state of your health is a direct reflection of your inner world of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. When learned behavior stems from teachings that maintain a sense of helplessness to control your body's health, these ideas plant early seeds of doom that take root and grow into beliefs of doubt and despair, eventually disconnecting you from your abilities to create vibrant health from within. The power of suggestion is well understood among the medical sciences. Yet its negative applications can be readily seen with the relentless, dire warnings about protecting yourself from harmful exposure to the sun and nature, or the need for vaccinations that are actually toxic chemical cocktails. I know one situation I read on a health magazine, there was actually a reward offered for any doctor, and actually it was a $75,000 reward for any doctor who would drink a concoction of the normal recommended doses for vaccination of a 7-year-old child. And apparently this started out at $25,000 and will be increased at $25,000 a year until someone comes forward to drink the cocktail. And grave and foreboding announcements always anoint the arrival of yearly flu season. Illness is now big business. You have to start thinking in terms of not catching everything that is going around, like going against the rules and not lifting your mitt to catch that fly ball. Millions of people frighten themselves into various stages of sickness and death and contribute to the business of fear because they've been taught to deny the connection between the mind and the body. A numbing, unquestioned acceptance of a given medical prognosis can stem from a variety of foundational beliefs, yet is will all boil down to a strong underlying belief in a personal powerlessness that can be expressed as follows. Who am I to question a medical authority? What do I know? Modern medicine has all the answers. I have to have medical insurance. What if something happens to me? I have no control over my body. The largely ineffective, costly healthcare system is sustained by such beliefs. From a larger perspective, this sense of powerlessness over how to create physical well-being has resulted in poor energy management of physical and mental resources, which has manifested in the current epidemic of serious maladies. Illness is an internal battle, and people get sick in part because they stop their mental and emotional growth, which closes off accessibility to cosmic and spiritual connections and energies. Desiring to have someone else in charge of fixing and taking care of the body has created a cumbersome bureaucracy to deal with cradle-to-grave health concerns that are, for the most part, founded on conditioned fears contrived in the mind. In order to live well and thrive during these times of transformational change, it is to your advantage to embrace a belief in vital health and to accept responsibility for the ability to create it. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment, involving the use of expensive poisons and medications, is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and/or mental imbalances. This pernicious approach to health only serves to put greater stress on the body. Masking the symptoms of an illness with medication only glosses over the destructive thinking processes and deep inner feelings of helplessness and powerlessness, which are at the root of the problem. Unresolved emotional traumas are the real core issues of disease. Weak thinking and leading a false life weaken the body, and the massive epidemic of serious illness is a direct result of most people over the past century accepting restrictive beliefs about how the body operates. In all fairness to yourself, you must ask, who really benefits from managing my self-concepts? Every illness actually serves as a positive message from one part of the self to another concerning your emotional responses to life. You may have learned to fear your body because you were taught that it can break down for no apparent reason, that it is unpredictable, unreliable, and untrustworthy. These ideas are examples of limiting beliefs and restrict the flow of life force energy within the body. Every illness is unique to its host, and it actually serves as a positive message from one part of the self to another concerning your emotional responses to life. A viewpoint of deep respect for your body's innate intelligence is required in order to understand the body's inner messages. The true validity and meaning of any experience of ill health are lost when you deny the power of your thoughts and emotions to heal yourself. If you are really looking for the magic pill to heal your body and your life, it is in your mind. Illness can be understood as a physical manifestation of blocked emotional energy focused by your thinking. In other words, when emotions and feelings go unexpressed, the blocked energy leads to inappropriate activity that will eventually manifest as poor health. You actually restrict your body's natural healing processes when you readily accept only conventional medical labels and categories for your condition. You deny the purpose and power of your body's intelligence when you believe that you just caught something out of the blue, rather than realizing and accepting that your body is merely responding to your inner feelings and commands. Your body is a magnificent, self-healing, self-repairing system and an organic wonder that you have yet to truly appreciate. You are the ultimate authority when it comes to really knowing your body, because you are the one managing the show. Either by clear intent or by way of beliefs, you will eventually manifest whatever it is that you command. Affirm the reality you want and repeat the following, and I quote from the Pleiadians. I am a vital, healthy being now. I accept the responsibility and commitment that changing my life will involve. I am ready to embrace a new way of looking at life. I am excited about learning the many methods and techniques that will empower me to operate my physical body and to experience vital health in every moment. I am getting in better form day by day, year by year, decade by decade, millennium by millennium, throughout all the avenues of time. I understand that my now expands into every now, and I seek to know much more about the physical and non-physical aspects of life. I understand my ultimate responsibility is in managing the forces of cosmic energy that pass through me as well as everything on the planet, and that my first responsibility and duty is to love and take care of my physical form. End quote. Contemplate these words for a few moments, dear friend, for they are very empowering commands. Again, they may not reflect your current experience. However, words set forth the direction for energy to follow. Now, I am not saying that self-healing is going to work for everybody. In fact, on my website, Healing the Known and the Unknown, at maxwellgreensight.com, I specifically state that if you believe in diagnosis, prognosis, pills, medical surgery, chemotherapy, etc., then you are at the wrong website. This is the site where we do the mental work to find out why a certain condition exists, connect with our higher selves, prepare the body to work optimally, claim our personal sovereignty and power, and cure the disease with vibration, belief, love, gratitude, natural herbs, the newest technologies, and the amazing power of the body to heal itself. Now, with respect to the website Healing the Known and the Unknown, at that site there are some free downloads. One in particular is around self-empowerment. The second is around people that are in abusive relationships, and this can be expanded to all forms of abusive relationships. It also includes much of the information in the e-books in copies of ET Yoga, which started from week one. And for those of you who have been following the program along to this point, I'd like to thank you very much for your support. And certainly there's a growing audience there that clearly is interested in self-empowerment and in maximizing the immune system of the body. And I'd like to mention at this point, as it ties into our last point about the beliefs in the medical system, that I can also appreciate that there are many people in the medical profession that do some wonderful things. And at the same time, it is really a mixed bag, in my opinion, with respect to the amount of involvement and the amount of trust that people place in the system. And in my opinion, anybody who truly cares about your health, the first thing they're going to tell you in this day and age is to do a thorough detoxification once a year. And by this, I mean that our world has become extremely toxic, from the fluorides in the water to the pesticides and chemicals even in the fruits and vegetables. For those of you still eating meat, the steroids and hormones and products that are put into the meat to make them red. All these effects, plus the chemicals in the air, taken into a total whole, we're living in very toxic times. And it is precisely this toxicity in the body that overburdens the immune system. And at this point, I would like to recommend, as does Bashar, and Bashar doesn't recommend products. I know in the 20-some years that Bashar has been doing lectures and tapes around the world through Daryl Anka as the channel, he's recommended a few books. One of those was Cosmic Voyage, which was done by remote viewers, which he claims is about 95% accurate. He's also recommended reading the books Destiny of Souls and Journey of Souls. And the only other product I've ever heard him recommend was through the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. He is recommending their products with respect to detoxification. And personally, I've used these programs now for years, and I give them my highest recommendation as well. I was one of those people that basically put this off for the longest time because I just felt it was not a very appealing thing to do. And now, to be honest, I just really love doing the detox programs. I know how important and what a value they are, and highly recommend to anyone that is looking to improve the immunity of their system and the strength of their system in this highly toxic age to do a thorough detox. Now, both Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy and Bashar have both, in separate formats, found the same conclusion that about 85 to 90% of all physical symptoms disappear after a complete detoxification of the body and supplemented with proper nutrients. And one of those proper nutrients, and not to say that there's only one place to get this type of nutrient, but one of them clearly is also available at the American Botanical Pharmacy, and that is a superfood. And the superfood is full of all natural herbs and ingredients, which provide you with all the proteins and energy that the body requires. And that's just a phenomenal statement to state that 85 to 90% of all physical symptoms disappear with thorough detoxification. And to me, what that really says is just how what the Palladians are saying about the strength of the human body as its own self-healing organism, once it's allowed to properly do its job, it's phenomenal. And that, in Bashar's words, miracles become the norm. So one of the things that clearly is recommended is a thorough detoxification, and in conjunction with the basic foundations for health, Bashar clearly recommends pure water, oxygenation of the body, specifically as taught by the ancient yogis with their pranayamas, also the elimination of stress, and in addition to detoxification, lightening up the food that goes into the body. And that's a pleasant way to say, get off the red meat. So for those of you who are in reasonably good health now, those that follow the basic rules will find that their immunity to many of the diseases that are going around will be highly diminished. And further, the most current research with respect to DNA and how thought and emotion affect DNA are showing that attitudes of love, compassion, gratitude, joy, and excitement increase the immune system up to as much as 300,000 times. I mean, just phenomenal research being done in this area. So for the people who can maintain their positivity in the midst of a world in conflict, certainly the benefits are there in the area of health. I would also like to mention at this time for anyone who would like to call in with from the USA and Canada, the number is 888-228-4494, and toll-free worldwide is 877-489-6350. And now I'd like to move on to a channeling from Leah, an Arcturian, through Sal Rochelle. And the topic of the channeling is called The Subtleties of Judgment. And I would quote from Leah, "What is judgment? This may sound like a basic question, but have we really exhausted the definitions of this word? I'm going to make several statements that are all anonymous in a basic sense. They are all definitions of judgment from slightly different angles. First, judgment is the act of separating out parts of creation and seeing them as more or less worthy. Notice how closely this matches Sal Rochelle's definition of evil. He says that evil is the state of being whereby one separates out certain aspects of creation and judges them as being less worthy of God's love than other aspects. Could we then say there is a relationship between evil and judgment? You bet. Second, judgment is a perception based on incomplete information. It is also an assumption or conclusion reached on the basis of a belief system or conditioned response. Let's use another example. If you were raised in a household that believes white people are superior to black people, and this was drilled into you year after year as you were growing up, and you never experienced anything that contradicted this belief until you reached adulthood and moved away to a large city, you might be tempted to still believe black people are inferior when you meet them in social settings. Number three, judgment always involves some form of make wrong. Making something wrong is equivalent to judging it. The truth is, everything in the universe is inherently perfect, whole, and complete. If something does not appear that way, then there must be some form of judgment involved. Let's use an example. There is war, poverty, disease, and all manner of suffering on planet Earth. That's a third-dimensional fact that nobody in his or her rational state would deny. Now here's the clincher. Does this mean that something is wrong on planet Earth? Be careful now, beloveds. Think and feel this one through. Is it wrong to have war, poverty, disease, and suffering? By saying these things are wrong, you must be comparing them to something you believe is right. What is comparison? Is it not a form of judgment? Well, it may be true that suffering comes as a result of being out of balance with natural law. Is that in itself a bad thing? The channel has a very accurate definition of suffering: resistance to pain. And pain is resistance to life. So what is resistance, and how does it relate to suffering? Resistance implies there is a force opposing what is. Yet how can something oppose the truth? Truth is truth. Nothing more, nothing less. There's nothing outside of truth to oppose it. In fact, a part of what is that there is resistance, which is causing pain, and resistance to pain, which is causing suffering. A lot of words? Perhaps. But if we examine all this deeply enough, we will come to the inescapable conclusion that judgment is a refusal to accept what is. This means judgment is a form of resistance, which is a form of pain and suffering. When one totally accepts what is, including war, poverty, etc., there is no longer a make wrong or judgment of these things. Without judgment, there is the possibility of real healing. After all, although these maladies are not bad and wrong, they are signals that something is out of balance with natural law. This is because God's laws are the laws of love, harmony, peace, joy, and understanding. When these things are absent, it means there is either ignorance of natural law, unconscious judgment, or blatant disregard for natural law, which is conscious judgment. Without judgment, there can be no resistance, and without resistance, there can be no pain. Therefore, without judgment, all the maladies of the earth would be gone forever. Is judgment really responsible for the mess on earth? Absolutely. So what is the highest and best thing you can do? Right, completely and permanently end judgment within yourself. Remember, of course, that we are not talking about discernment. Discernment is the ability to perceive what is or is not best for your soul growth and what is or is not appropriate for your being. With judgment, there is always an emotional investment in things being a certain way. With judgment, there is always something to defend, something to fear, something to feel anxious about. Judgment can be very subtle. Almost every being on earth judges, many without realizing it. Most of the so-called enlightened teachers are still stuck in judgment. This is a most dangerous situation if you desire joy, happiness, and a peaceful world. Being in judgment and then denying it is a doubly difficult position to be in. Denial keeps judgment in place. One then lives under a false sense that all is well. Look at me, I'm righteous. I'm God's gift to humanity. I've overcome judgment. I'm peaceful, loving, just, and fair. Are you? Is there anything within you or without you that you are making wrong? What about judgmental people? Are you making them wrong for being judgmental? Yes, Leah here is playing with words, but do you get my point? Let's say it all out on the line here. If you're not experiencing joy, bliss, nirvana, supreme peace, and boundless love, then you are in judgment somewhere within your being. Yes, it's that simple. So go ahead, beloveds. Take a good, honest, deep look within. Where are you still judging? Remember, do not judge yourself for judging. That's an elaborate and fanciful way of remaining stuck. Simply look, without bias, without prejudice, without condition, upon the act of judging. Examine it carefully. Give your full attention to it. Explore the feelings and thoughts arising from the judgment. Notice how it feels in the body. Discover and uncover all the belief systems that keep the judgment in place. Begin with the negative feeling, wherever it resides within the body. It will be wherever the body is nervous, uptight, constricted, tense, stiff, sore, or queasy. Then examine your thoughts. What do you think most often? Where do you place your attention? Which of the activities in your life brings feelings less than pure joy? Why are you doing those things? What is the motivation? What is the purpose? What is the judgment behind the action, thought, or feeling? If it's not a source of true fulfillment and energetic expansion, then there is a judgment behind the activity, thought, feeling, idea, or impression. Beloveds, what would your life look like without judgment? Can you even imagine it? Or is it beyond your wildest imagination? Many of you have to let go of a significant portion of your judgment, and your lives have exploded joyously into new and exciting experiences. Yet, you retain many judgments on subtle levels. Imagine how much more joyful, spontaneous, prosperous, and alive you will be when you let the subtle judgments go. Are you the light of the world? You are when you let your judgments go completely. Can you move mountains? You can when there is no make wrong anywhere within your being. Are you the way, the truth, and the life? Absolutely, when there is nothing but love within your heart. Love is your natural state when you let all condemnation fall away. Beloveds, today is the best day of your entire existence when you decide once and for all that no judgment shall remain in any of its millions of disguises and deceptions. Within your holy being, be brutally honest. Love yourself just as you are and let your judgments go. Accept everything exactly as it is. See the truth in all. Witness the perfection of the divine plan, unfolding perfectly. If everyone on earth can do this, I can guarantee there will be no wars, poverty, pain, suffering, or limitation of any kind. No negative ETs controlling people. No governments of, by, and for the rich. No poor, impoverished souls working sun up to sundown at menial labor. No air, water, and land pollution. No wars, negative competition, greed, selfishness, jealousy, envy, hatred, revenge, rebellion, resentment, manipulation, control, deceit, despair, betrayal, blind obedience, domination, injustice, or any of the countless other words you have for the many forms of judgment. I'd also like to point out that the ebooks that are available at MaxwellGreenSight.com, there are the information that relates to empowering the immune system all the way up to and including complete immunity from disease. And that information is tied directly to judgment and the way that self-empowerment and improving the immune system cross-connect is that when you reach a state of lack of fear, what you realize is that it is fear created through judgment. And if you go through the core beliefs that Bashar teaches, you will see, and I noticed this at the Sri Ramka book, Atlantean Messages in the year 2000, and they mentioned the energy of frustration. And I've never seen this mentioned in any other text, in any other, from any other source. It was from Archangel Zadkiel, and he mentions that the energy of frustration comes into being at the point at which people deny their own divinity. And it is that energy, that separation, that eventually leads to the creation of doubt and also of all fear. And what it really shows is that when you conquer fear, then it also means you've conquered the illusion of false beliefs. And the topic of tonight's show was clearly around a list and host of false beliefs. And it has also been shown that all disease is connected to dysfunctional emotion, so that false beliefs then turn into disease, which has as part of their root cause judgment. And thus, the material on the Maxwell Green site is in total support of this channeling from Leah, from the Arcturians. For more information from the Arcturians, I suggest people see Janos Sacred Geometry. And one of his products, actually, HemiSync, has been turned into the product of the year on the internet, and it is basically activated crop circles. And for those of you who are not familiar, the crop circles do emit and trigger latent genetic codes, that each of the crop circles really reflects a vibration that is beneficial to humanity. And of course, not all the crop circles, but those that are legitimate ones, the ones that cannot be reproduced by any scientific method known to modern science. So I would highly recommend seeing the Arcturian information with respect to healing as well. There is a meditation and a specific crop circle known as the Infinity Codes of 2007, which help to activate your perfect template for health and well-being. So again, I would strongly suggest people check out the Infinity Codes of 2007 on the internet. And that's Janosh, J-A-N-O-S-H, Sacred Geometry. At this time, I would like to wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back on the air with Patricia Corey, author of the Syrian Trilogies. Good night, everyone.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Investigation, it paid off. My devotion, not enough. Leaving everything behind. Seeing what you got in mind. And now you're somewhat beautiful to me. You know I'm not in love, but out of time.
Almost out of time.
And I'm jaded, but I made it home. Yeah, I'm wasted. Now you know I hate it when you wear me out. Yeah, I blame it all on you bringing me down. Another question comes to life. A conversation built on lies. Another reason for my pain. That's why I send you on your
blame it.